WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope it's starting off well for you. So far, so good over here. Just running around doing all my morning stuff that I got to do before the show begins. And then, yeah, that's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes. A lot of stuff that we have to fire up when it comes to the technology and get set up. And I just, every day I try to do a little bit more to say, okay, now this will be all set in the morning. And then something else comes up. So things aren't all set in the morning. It used to be a little bit easier because when I left, nobody else was coming in. So I had everything set up. But now Brian Thomas comes in at night. And so, you know, he's going to have things the way he wants them. But then I've got to set it back up in the morning the way that I want it. So a little extra work, but that's all right. It's worth it for Freedom Fools, which you can hear every night at 6 o'clock. And if you miss it, you can catch it on podcast. Speaking of podcast, we had an app chat message that came in from Salty Dog during South Coast Now yesterday. And he asked if we offer a rebroadcast of Chris's show and Well, we do. Everything is podcast. So you can always catch all of our local programs. Me and Chris, Barry, Brian with both Freedom Fools and Brian's Beat, and the Ken Pittman Show. And also, soon, the Paul Santo Show as well. It looks like we're going to start the Paul Santo Show on the first Saturday in May, May 3rd. Because both Paul and Brian have some things going on in the coming weeks. So we figured rather than have us switch the schedule now and then have to cover for a week, run a best of Howie for a week or something, we figured, we'll just hold off. So May 3rd will be our new Saturday lineup. We'll have the Paul Santo Show from 7 to 9, the Ken Pittman Show from 9 to noon, Jose Matos with Money Matters at noon, and then Brian's Beat moves to 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And that was it. That was at Brian's request. Don't let him tell you anything differently. I know he's going to come up with some story about it, but no. It was his he wanted to move it. So that he has a little bit of time off between his Friday night show and his Saturday morning show. So there's a lot that we can discuss today. We're actually going to be joined by a guest later on in the 8 o'clock hour that I think that you'll find very interesting. Dawn Barclay is going to be joining us. She is the author of Vacations Can Be Murder, A True Crime Lover's Travel Guide to New England. And we're going to talk about that book. And I don't know if you've ever read a travel guide, but travel guides are put together a little bit differently than books, than straight, you know, storytelling books. It's more about... it's equally about the journey that you take as it is the stories that you will explore. So it's just as much a how-to manual of how to get to these places and what to explore when you get there. And it's very interesting the way that it's laid out. So we'll talk with Dawn about that. And it's kind of similar to an article I put up yesterday at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Where it's time to get all aboard the South Shore Bar Pizza train. And so what I did is I took some of the popular South Coast bar pizza locations, South Shore bar pizza locations. And what I did is I figured out how far the nearest ones were to the stops on the South Coast Rail train line. The New Bedford Fall River line is what the MBTA refers to it as. And of course, the closest one to any station is the Dipper Cafe here in New Bedford. You just walk across the pedestrian bridge from the Whale's Tooth parking lot, the New Bedford station. You walk across the bridge and there's the Dipper Cafe. Couldn't be any easier. And I actually, you know, was telling people who are South Shore Bar Pizza fans. And by the way, if you're not familiar with that, it's a type of pizza that you've probably had at places before, but didn't realize what made it different. So they're smaller, they're 10-inch pizzas. They have a thin crust that's more like made out of cracker than it is out of bread dough. Like, that's kind of the consistency of it. It's very firm. And then the sauce is usually on the sweeter side. And the cheese is more of a cheddar mix than a mozzarella mix. More cheddar in the blend than there is mozzarella. So it has a little bit of a sharper cheese to it. And then people put whatever toppings they want on it. And a big part of it is, you know, whether or not you like it laced. Whether or not you like it when they put it in the pan, they'll actually cover the whole thing in sauce and cheese, going beyond the crust itself. So you get this like crispy, people think it's burnt, but it's not. It's just sauce and cheese that goes around the edge. Anyway, that's that style of pizza. And for a long time, people said, oh, you know, you can't get any good South Shore bar pizza south of Easton. And folks here have said, hey, we've been making that style of pizza for a long time. And also new places were coming up that wanted to have it as well because of its popularity. And the Dipper being one of them. So, and the Dipper has really risen through the ranks to where a lot of the purists, the people who say, you know, you can't get this style of pizza down here, that we just don't do it right. The purists have started to say, oh, hold on. They rank among some of the best. So I've been telling people, you're going to be able to take the train down. You know, all those Randolph Brockton people who swear that their place is the best, they're going to be able to take the train down and try it in New Bedford. But also, on the flip side, New Bedford folks are going to get to take the train and try some of these places that they've heard so much about, but that they, you know, they never really bothered to go and try. So what I did is I figured out on Google Maps, you know, how far of a walk it is. Because I figured if you're going to take the train, you know, you're not going to then call for a cab or an Uber. So how many of these places can be like a half an hour walk from the train station? I don't think a half an hour walk is an insane thing to go somewhere. Like if you were taking the train into South Station and you're like, all right, it's a half an hour walk from here to the aquarium. I don't know if that's how long it is. I'm just picking that. But you'd still be like, okay, that's fine. I can do that. But most of them are about a 15 to 20 minute walk. And that's average walking speed. You might walk faster. You might walk a little slower. So I screenshotted the map of how to get there and wrote out the directions and made basically a travel guide to these bar pizza places. And I didn't do it with the intention of saying, like, here, go on a bar pizza tour and get on the train and ride and go get all these pizzas in one day. I was just kind of like, you know, if you're on the train, and here's where you can stop and get something to eat. And so I, you know, it was just kind of a fun thing. I shared it in the South Shore Bar Pizza Facebook group, which people can get pretty intense about things, but most people seem to like the concept of it. Now, some of the places, you might not want to be walking through. And this surprised me because I even pointed out in the article, you know, at the Brockton stations, you're not going to be walking through some of the best neighborhoods to get to these places, so keep that in mind. And a lot of people commented about, yeah, you're going to have to walk through Brockton. Don't, you know, when these places are cash only, so, you know, you're going to have to carry cash on you. But I was expecting the people from closer to Boston to say negative things about New Bedford. I'm not going to the Dipper. Oh, I'm not even going to risk walking across that bridge. Nobody said anything negative about New Bedford. So, and you know how people like to drag New Bedford. I've still got about 20 minutes to go, by the way, in the most recent episode of Snitch City. But from my understanding, the Boston Globe took some audio from Chris McCarthy's discussion with Mayor Mitchell about the Snitch City podcast. And you're welcome, Boston Globe. Would have been nice if you said the name of the station or the name of the host, even. Or if you had asked if you could put it in your podcast, because it's the whole thing is very, there's the whole thing of fair use and all that kind of stuff. It's, you know, the rules get kind of complicated about what you can just use without permission and what you can't, but it's always just a professional courtesy to say, hey, can we use this? So I don't want to read too much into it, but I do like the fact that the Globe finally agreed to come on with us the day before they dropped a podcast that had our audio in it. So, but hopefully we get the spotlight folks back on. I'd love to have Brendan McCarthy and Dugan Arnett come on at some point and take your phone calls. You know, even if we can't get them in the studio, we could still take your phone calls. In fact, we recently set up some new technology that may even make that easier. So, but anyway, yes, South Shore Bar Pizza Guide. And while we're talking about food, Gazelle has the story. You can read it at WBSM.com and on the app. A New Bedford restaurant. I don't know if you've been to Smashed yet. It's downtown. It's across from City Hall and the bus station. And they make some really great food. It's definitely, you know, comfort food minded. You know, fried chicken, burgers, things along that, pizza, things along those lines. And they have started doing a hot chicken challenge that started off with a $100 prize if you could finish all 6 tenders in 5 minutes. And yesterday it was up to $1,000. They would give you $1,000 if you could eat all 6 pieces of hot chicken in 5 minutes. No sauce, no drink. And I just, that's insane to me. And for people who are saying, well, you can't eat 6 pieces of chicken in 5 minutes, you could. If somebody just brought you a plate of boneless chicken tenders that had 6 tenders on it and said, you've got 5 minutes to eat those all, you could eat them. But these are so spicy that people aren't able to complete this challenge. And by the way, it was not an April Fool's joke. I know people were claiming that the $1,000 prize was an April Fool's joke. It was not. They'd started off with a $100 prize the day before. They ended up going to a $200 prize the day before. And then they went $1,000. Now, there's a $20 buy-in. You know, it's $20 to participate. But if you can handle the heat, that's a big return on your investment. I stopped being able to handle spice a long time ago. Like, I like a little spice, but I couldn't do that level of heat. I should have texted my son, told him to come try it. Although even he has kind of backed off the spice. I think the last thing he did was the one chip challenge a couple of years ago, and that was pretty rough on him. But Gazelle still, you know, being the intrepid reporter that he is, he tried it. He wasn't planning on trying to take on the challenge itself. He wasn't going to try to eat 6 in 5 minutes. But he took a bite and it nearly killed him. So if you think you can handle the heat, check out Smashed NB in downtown New Bedford. And also check out the article and you can see Gazelle's actual reaction in real time to eating that chicken tender that I know I was so afraid because I was the one that gave him the idea to go cover the story. I saw it the day before and I saw it posted again and I saw that it was up to $1,000 and I was like, Gazelle, if you've got time, you should go over there and see. And I was thinking more like, you know, see if anybody completes the challenge while you're there kind of thing. But I think maybe Gazelle has a little bit of Hunter S. Thompson in him where he goes gonzo. He won't write about anything he's not willing to try himself. And next thing I know, I'm looking at Facebook and I see Gazelle is live from Smash. And I'm like, oh, this is not going to turn out well. Because I still remember when we did the Fun versus Food Hot Wing Challenge here at Fun 107 and WBSM a few years ago. And I remember the aftermath of that. And you can see that video in his story, too. We put it in there to relive old memories. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Let me take a quick break here and then we'll be back with more. And welcome back in. We're going to be going into the news with Mike Roberts in just a moment. On the other side, we'll talk with you at 508-996-0500. And we can talk about the Department of Education clawing back some of the funding, $15 million that was going to go to projects in New Bedford. And they're actually going to be able to pull together the funding to complete some of these projects, but some will not. So we'll give you the latest on that. And, of course, again, your phone calls, 508-996-0500, your app chats, your open line voicemails, if you want to send those over. I don't know why nobody uses that option. But we'll also hear from Kelly over at Stevie's Wine and Spirits a little bit later on about a great event they have coming up on Friday, a tasting that also could turn a little tattooish as well. So right now, let's turn things over to Mike Roberts in the WBSM newsroom.
Cory Booker breaks a record. Vaccination stations close in Texas amid the measles outbreak and tougher penalties for extreme speeders in Connecticut.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Cory Booker is breaking the record for longest Senate speech ever. Clocking in at just over 25 hours, the New Jersey Democrat started his marathon speech at 7 o'clock on Monday night in protest of the Trump administration, protesting President Trump's tariffs, steps Trump's taking to dismantle the Department of Education, and other policies, saying the nation is in crisis. The longest speech given on the Senate floor was 24 hours and 18 minutes back in 1957. Booker was allowed to take extended pauses for questions from fellow Democrats. The King County Sheriff's Office in Washington State testing technology that allows deputies to attach a GPS device to a vehicle during a pursuit.
Star Chase is already being used by police in Redmond, Linwood, and the Thurston County Sheriff's Office. During a pursuit, a device is attached to the suspect's vehicle that allows it to be tracked, eliminating the need for a high-speed pursuit. The device is legal under Washington law, and it's been tested in the courts. 12 King County deputies have been trained how to use it. I'm Brad Ford.
Dozens of free measles vaccine clinics are closing in Texas. Massive cuts to federal funding have forced health officials to close over 50 different clinics on the front lines of the state's growing measles outbreak. There are over 500 confirmed cases of the disease nationwide, with more than 420 of them in Texas. The director of the Dallas County Health Department is calling the move, quote, very short-sighted. Connecticut lawmakers are proposing tougher penalties for super speeders. This comes after state police revealed that they arrested 10 drivers last month who were going 100 miles per hour or more on routes I-95, I-84, and 91. The latest arrest was Friday in Vernon. Under the bill, people putting the pedal to the metal at 100 miles or more would face a stiff fine, jail time, and the impounding of their car for 48 hours. A California soldier among the dead after a military vehicle was found in the mud in Lithuania.
The body of Sergeant Edvin F. Franco has been pulled from the wreckage. Army officials say the 25-year-old from Glendale was part of the 3rd Infantry Division that possibly lost control of a tank that fell into a hole filled with thick, muddy water this week. 3 other U.S. soldiers were with Franco when the crash happened. They also died. I'm Jason Campadonia.
President Trump preparing to host a meeting about TikTok as the deadline for the ban draws near. TikTok's Chinese-owned parent company ByteDance has until Friday to sell the app to a non-Chinese buyer or be banned in the U.S. Trump has previously said he could extend the deadline for the ban if he wanted to. He'll meet with Vice President Vance and other advisors today to discuss a possible offer for the app. The Vatican says there's no word at this time regarding Pope Francis's involvement in Holy Week ceremonies. An update from the Holy See Press office said that it's premature to speculate on the Pope's participation. Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday on April 13th. It ends with Easter Sunday on the 20th. Doctors say the pontiff remains in stable condition and a chest x-ray shows his lungs continue to improve. An iceberg the size of Chicago is breaking off Antarctica with a thriving ecosystem underneath. Brian Shook has more.
The iceberg named A84 detached from a floating glacier attached to the Antarctic Peninsula ice sheet back in mid-January. Researchers from the Schmidt Ocean Institute decided to investigate the ice shell and observe the seafloor for 8 days. The team gathered data on the geology, physical oceanography, and biology of the underwater terrain. Upon their research, the team discovered a thriving ecosystem, which they said was unexpected. I'm Brian Shook.
WBSM Sports.
The Washington Capitals beat the Bees 4-3 last night. Bruins are back in action tomorrow in Montreal at 7:30. The Red Sox and Orioles are in Baltimore tonight at 6:35. The Miami Heat come to Boston tonight at 7:30.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Temperatures in the upper 20s and low 30s here on the South Coast. We're only in the mid 40s later today. We'll have a mix of clouds and sun, but clouds increase later in the afternoon ahead of our next area of low pressure. That's going to drive some showers our way later into the evening. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Back in 508-996-0500. Don't forget too that we are just 1 day away from the start of Money Talks here on WBSM. That's right. Starting tomorrow, we are going to have 10 codes for you every weekday, a code every hour between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. And when you hear that code, you enter it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, and you could be a $1,000 winner. And on two Thursdays, so two of the Thursdays, we're going to have $10,000 Thursday. So it won't be tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're just getting you started. But as we go along, two Thursdays will be $10,000 Thursdays. And here's the thing. You're already listening to WBSM anyway, right? You're going to hear those codes anyway. So you might as well just open up your WBSM app or go to WBSM.com, enter those codes in, and try to win. And you'll find all the information at the website, at the app. to know how to play and all the rules and everything like that. But it's really that easy. You just hear the 3-number code, and then you go to the app, you go to the website, you enter it in. And the way that it's going to be set up, it's not set up that way now, but it will be tomorrow. When you look at it, it's going to have the boxes for every hour's code for that day. You can't go ahead and put it in the wrong day. You can't go back and put it in if you forgot to do one the day before. So you got to do it that day. And you just go right in, you type it into the box, and that's it. I'm just trying to get ahead of all the folks who are going to send us app chat messages with the code in it. That doesn't work. That doesn't enter you. I can't enter you. It has to be something you do all on your own. So if you're sending me the codes in app chat, I can't help you. If you miss the code and you send me a message and ask me what it was, I can't help you. I'm not allowed to tell you what it is. And honestly, I don't pay attention. I don't listen. So you have to be the one to do so. I don't pay attention. I don't listen because I'm not eligible to win. I can't win. I work here. So it's all on you. I can guide you and point you in the right direction, but that's about it. And I'm happy to do so. But last time we did this, we had, I don't think we really had too many people at all sending us the code. So I think folks are starting to get the hang of how it works. And if it works and you win, think of how you could spend that money. Think of what you could do with $1,000 right now, let alone winning the $10,000, right? Even $1,000 would help. So that all starts tomorrow, and it's brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. They are the sponsors of Money Talks here on WBSM. Speaking of money, I had mentioned before that there had been $106 million. Yes, $106 million that the Trump administration has cut from Massachusetts K-12 school funding. And this was money that had been brought to Massachusetts via the American Rescue Plan Act. And as part of the Federal Education Stabilization Fund. And so schools like New Bedford had been taking this money and putting it toward improvement projects. And according, you know, WCVB has a story on where they say in Massachusetts, the funding supports programs related to addressing pandemic related learning loss through mental health services, intensive math tutoring, new educational materials, and screenings for difficulty with reading. It was also being used to support building upgrades across 20 school districts, school security enhancements, and professional development for educators. Now, schools also had a deadline. School departments had a deadline to allocate these funds. If you remember, you know, New Bedford Light had been following along with that very closely, where they had until a certain date to earmark those funds for certain projects or else they would lose access to them. And New Bedford and other municipalities met that deadline. The problem is now the Trump administration is saying, well, but this isn't COVID-related stuff, so we don't have to give you that money. Which Governor Healey has come out and called illegal, because this was money that was allocated through Congress. Now, New Bedford is the number two district getting hit by this. $15.6 million. New Bedford is losing as a result of this. And in New Bedford, they were working on projects with this money for things like installing that student health center that they've been talking about outside the high school, installing heating and air conditioning at Gomes Elementary, and finishing off several construction projects throughout the district, including the finishing touches on the central kitchen, where they'll cook all the cafeteria meals for all the schools that don't have kitchens and bring that every day. And apparently, The state was notified of this at 5:03 on Friday, that it was actually ending at 5 o'clock last Friday. So they found out about this after the government had decided to stop this funding. They sent that out at 5:03. And then according to New Bedford Light, district level superintendents like New Bedford Superintendent Andrew O'Leary did not get forwarded that message until after 8 p.m. And so they got together on Saturday and they were able to come up with some alternative funding to be able to finish some of these projects, including the central kitchen, accessibility upgrades at Hathaway Elementary, and modular classrooms at Brooks Elementary. But according to New Bedford Light, the school-based health center and the air conditioning at Gomes Elementary School remain in limbo. So they, Superintendent O'Leary talks about, you know, they did have a contingency plan in case this happened. And so they knew that they could get some of the funding from other sources. Some things that they would normally be purchasing at the end of the school year that they won't be purchasing now. You know, those kind of things, you know, like new chairs and things along those lines. So they're going to save that money and utilize that money to put into this, so they can still be able to fund some of these projects. But there is a push toward the Trump administration to get this money back. Now, again, $15.6 million for New Bedford is significant. Springfield had $47 million taken away. And then, you know, just taking a look at this list of schools that are listed on WCVB's report, Fairhaven is among the list, lost $250,802. And the Greater Fall River Regional Vocational Technical School, which I'm assuming is Diamond, lost $115,000. But New Bedford, number two at $15.6 million, just taken away like that. That they thought that they'd done everything that they needed to do to come down and allocate all those dollars before the deadline. And now they're saying, well, it doesn't matter. We're not giving you that money. And Mayor Mitchell issued a statement. The sudden clawing back of these funds places in jeopardy projects whose purpose is to ensure that our schools are safe and healthy for New Bedford school children. The school department followed all the rules concerning the eligibility of the projects and the expenditure of federal funds. We will work with the Healey administration and our congressional delegation in the hope that the projects can remain on track. Now, the Trump administration did pull all of this back, but they said that they would be looking at some of these requests on a case-by-case basis. I'm just trying to find the exact verbiage on that. But the idea is that, you know, you could bring to them the, like, hey, this is what we were going to use that money for. And then they could say, okay, we will approve it for that. But this is just another example of funding that was congressionally allocated, which is what Congress does. Congress doles out the funding, not the president. And now they're overstepping their bounds. This is overstepping the checks and balances. This was a budget that was submitted. This was a relief plan that was submitted and approved. And now you're superseding that. And by the way, for everybody that's, you know, clapping and waving their Trump flags and saying, yay, great, yay. It's not being used on COVID relief. So they shouldn't get it. Why are you giving COVID money to people when COVID is over? Because they spent money during COVID that they would have utilized for these projects. The kids at Gomes Elementary School would have had heat and air conditioning 5 years ago if there hadn't been a pandemic that took precedence for those funds. So this isn't like a free gift of money. This is righting the ship for what damage the pandemic cost. The same way that we would have liked to have seen happen for businesses and for all other kinds of aspects of life, except it couldn't happen at this scale because that's not publicly funded like school is. And by the way, where's the announcement about where that money is going? Okay, we're going to pull that money back and we're going to apply it to the national debt. I didn't hear that. We're going to pull that money back and give everybody a break on their taxes. I didn't hear that. So I get it when you cheer on taking away Social Security from 150-year-old people that aren't even alive, because that's not true. You know, I love it. You can cheer on taking away condoms from people in Gaza, because that wasn't true either. But you can keep cheering on that, you know. But this is taking things away from school kids. Seems like an odd thing to cheer on. Sorry, kids. We don't want you to have heat or air conditioning at school. You can suffer like we did. That's what windows are for. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. Say, if you haven't heard by now, Val Kilmer passed away at the age of 65. The actor who, you know, started off in his career, you know, looking to be a serious actor, went to Juilliard, studied drama at Juilliard, but then ended up, you know, hitting Hollywood first with a goofy comedy like Top Secret and Real Genius and things like that. But, you know, eventually broke out in films like Top Gun, where he played the Iceman to Tom Cruise's Goose, and then was able to reprise that role in Top Gun Maverick, even though he suffered through a bout of throat cancer that caused him to get a tracheotomy. But he also was in Willow. He played Jim Morrison in The Doors. And, of course, Doc Holliday in Tombstone. He'll be remembered as Batman and Batman Forever. And from my understanding, they wanted him to reprise the role in Batman and Robin, but he wasn't interested in continuing on. But then he went on to make one of the best movies of his career, The Salt and Sea. If you've never seen that, check that out. And there was a documentary on him a few years ago called Val that was a fantastic intimate portrait on his life and what he'd been through. And then go back and watch some of his greatest roles. You know, watch Tombstone. Watch The Doors, where he just became Jim Morrison. So one of my favorite actors. We actually have a mole in the same spot. But I guess it was pneumonia that took him out, but he was, you know, not in great health ever since suffering that bout of cancer. So Val Kilmer has passed away at the age of 65. Going to take my final break of the hour. We will be right back. And welcome back. And we're going to be going to the news in just a few moments and then more with you on the other side. I don't know how Cory Booker did it for 25 hours and 5 minutes. I find it hard to sit and talk for 3 hours. And I get to take commercial breaks and go to the news and all that. But very, very impressive stamina, that is for sure. And broke the record that was held by Strom Thurmond since 1957. So say what you want about whatever the content is of what he was saying. Still, that's an impressive feat to be able to stand up and talk for that long. And, of course, I started watching it toward the end when he was...